This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
To continue with all our good deeds, insha'Allah. And we hope Allah Rabbul Alameen help us, you know, to improve ourselves while we increase our knowledge. In life, we know that everybody want more. This word M-O-R-E is very important. Yeah. Number one, more money, so that our life become more comfortable, so that we can do more to gain Allah's blessing. Number two, we want to have more knowledge, so that inshallah we can do whatever we are doing in a better manner, because action with knowledge always better than just doing what is good but without being guided by knowledge. Number three, we always want to have more children if possible. Alhamdulillah, there are a lot of positive in more, and also something that is we don't like to have more. More knowledge normally will make us wiser by right, more humble, more aware and alert about what we are doing in this life, so that inshallah we all have a good ending. The word more. But in the same time, you have knowledge, the more you learn, the more confident you are, is good. But when you become more arrogant and more judgmental, that is bad. That is very dangerous. Sometimes you can see that in the Quran, Allah always remind us, problem that caused the division among this ummah, who was once Allah created as ummatan wahida, one ummah, it's not because of the ignorant one, it's because of the people who claim to have knowledge. Allah in Surah Ali Imran said, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. This ayah reminds us that Allah is telling us, after commanding us to hold fast to the rope of Allah, وَاَقْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, hold fast to the teaching of Islam and do not divide and split among yourself. Then to the other ayah after that, not immediate after that, after few ayah, after that ayah, Allah said to us, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا. Don't be like those who always love to be divided. They like to do things by themselves, without going back to the mainstream of the jama'ah who they are in. وَاخْتَلَفُوا, and they like to have a lot of, create a lot of differences, so that we are not united now. I have my way, you have your way, everybody want their own ways. مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. Now, when Allah said مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ, Allah is talking after you have knowledge. After you know the truth that Islam is here to unite, not to divide. Even to pray, you pray together. To fast, you fast together. You don't choose your own day. Allah chooses for us. He fixed for us. And whatever righteous deeds, good deeds that we want to do is so good if you do it collectively, because then people know that we are united. People don't take us for a ride. If everybody would do by themselves, no one know who is doing this, who is doing that. And person who are smart, they keep on moving from one person to another person, then to show that because we are not united, people take everyone for a ride. Our last topic, we are just under the preface, prelude to, about funeral. And according to my record here, today we should be talking about the ayah, wata'a wa no ala birri wa taqwa. Is that the ayah we should talk to? Yeah. That is page number what? Page 18. Yeah. And the prelude, yeah? Still the beginning of the book. We did not really enter any chapter yet. The beauty of this book is that they always remind us back. We need, as we move forward, brother and sister, don't forget the foundation. Don't forget the basic. Because at the end of the day, you remember, Allah is not going to ask us a lot of questions when we die in our grave. Allah asks us about what? Who is your God? Number one. Number two, what is your religion? Number three, who is your prophet? Three. You see how basic is that? Even you have learned so much, when you go down, when we die, only three things Allah asks us. He can ask more than that, but He will ask only three, very basic. Your God, have you solved the problem between you and God? Have you been having a good relationship with Allah? This is very important. You don't want to believe in Allah when you need to believe in Him. No. You do not want to remember Allah only when you are having problem. You must train yourself to remember Allah every time, every second of your life. And that's why Allah promised those who remember Him, وَالزَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهِ وَالزَّاكِرَاتِ, male and female, أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَعَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. I am going to forgive all their sins, Allahu Akbar, brother and sister. When we have a lot of problem, the first thing that we overlook is about our sin. We overlook to ask Allah for forgiveness. We just focus on the problem that we encounter and we are not satisfied, we complain here and that we forget about our own sin. I have a lot of problem with Allah, I should correct myself. We forget about that. Normally, no? We don't forget about others, but we forget about ourselves. Allah wants us to keep on asking forgiveness from Him. Remember that we are not perfect. Because the more you talk about others, you are giving them more reward. Even the deed that you have done is going to be transferred to them because you are doing things that is not right. We hope Allah make it easy for all of us to remember Him in good time, bad time, when we are healthy, when we are wealthy, and when we are poor, and when we are sick. We'd like to welcome back Sister Aisha, who has not been well for some time, and she is back again, alhamdulillah. It's time when you see some of the sisters who have been with us, then you feel the class gloom again, you know. You always have extra kind of, you know, blessing when you see all the good people around us, inshallah. Where was I just now? Remember Allah in good time, bad time, healthy, wealthy time, poor time, even you are sick, that is the most important time. But majority of us fail to remember Allah when they are not well. They give a lot of excuses. I cannot pray, see this, that, and I'm not clean, and all. They give a lot of excuses. Where Allah Almighty, the Merciful, the Loving, said to us, "Fattaqallah mastata'tum." Look at the beauty of Allah's word. Number one, He said, "Fattaqallah mastata'tum." The second one, Allah said, "La yukallifallahu nafsan illa wus'aha." One, Allah is telling us, you do your level best. That's all. If you have been urinating, nobody is there to help to clean, and you cannot move to the toilet by yourself, nobody is to help you. When the time for you to pray, you pray. Allah will accept. Don't worry about, oh, I'm not clean. You know, my dress is not clean. At that point of time, nobody can help you more than what you are, can do for yourself. Nobody is going to change your bed sheet every time. No. So Allah said, do whatever you can. And then the second ayah, Allah said, Allah will never burden us except with things that we can do. Now, what excuses do we have to say that I can't worship Allah now because I'm not clean? Yeah? You remember at the time the Prophet, those who want to be clean, they must use water. When you cannot use water, you do what? You go dry cleaning, tayammum. No excuse. Now look at this ayah again. Now this is also an obligation on every Muslim according to his or ability. Where Allah command wa ta'awanu alal birri wa taqwa wa la ta'awanu al ismi wal udwan. They are basic things. Allah never highlight very detailed about what is good and what is bad in this ayah, a very general guideline. Allah is telling the believing man and woman that we always must have an open mind to help each other. In doing what? Helping for doing what? What is right? What is right is our duty to help each other. Because nobody is perfect. And towards piety, taqwa. Meaning when you help somebody, you don't just help for the sake of helping and you leave it like this. A lot of people are doing welfare work. They help, but they do not bring these people closer to Allah. Taqwa means while you're helping a person, you are bringing that person back to Allah. Not just helping and leaving to do all the things that against Allah's command. You are not helping that person. You are spoiling that person. When we give things to our children, do we remind them to be thankful to Allah and give things that is useful for them? We forgot to do that. We just give and give. The more we give, the more they get further from Allah. We hope that we grandparents, we love our grandchildren, of course. Don't spoil them. Don't expose them to all smartphone? No, don't do that. They're not going to be smart. Islamically, they are going to be smart from the wrong direction. So anything that is good, it is our duty, the basic responsibility. This is going back to basic. Islam always reminds us about basic. And piety, meaning when you want to do something good, make sure the ending of the good deeds is to bring people to taqwa, closer to Allah. And do not help one another in sinning and transgression. If you look at this ayah, وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا الْإِسْمِ. Ismi is anything that brings you to sins. وَالْعُدْوَان. And also, udwan actually, the aduwa, means create animosity, hatred. So our mission is then to propagate the Islamic teaching in various areas as follow. Our mission, you know, we have a mission. When we learn about Islam, when we have knowledge, we have a responsibility to convey the knowledge. The first thing that we have to look into is our iman, our belief. But sometimes a lot of people have their misconception about this. When you say, let us go and learn how to pray, they say, this is not important. Important iman. It's true in one point of from one point of view, it's important iman. But if you are learning how to pray without connecting it to iman, that prayer is having a lot of problem. You cannot segregate prayer with iman. You cannot. Why do we want to pray? Because we believe in Allah. Believing in Allah is iman. How do you perform your prayer? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we follow his way. Follow his way because we believe in the prophets is also iman. Arkanu iman, to believe in Allah, to believe in the prophets. We must know how to link it back to iman. Every ritual in Islam have a connection with iman. But today, the way we talk about Islam, this is fiqhiyya, this is aqidah. No, aqidah and fiqh all come together. You cannot segregate. Zahir and batin move together. Now we should study, comprehend and implement the noble Quran and the Prophet's authentic Sunnah in accordance with the understanding and practice of the righteous Salaf, the Sahaba and their true followers, who are described in the Quran. Allahu Akbar. You have Muslim today who ignore the teaching of Prophet Muhammad. Now when you ignore the Sunnah, how can you accept the Sahaba? You can't. When you ignore the Prophet, the Sahaba have no place anymore in our hearts. Who are the Sahaba? Now let us look. If you say you believe in the Quran, what Quran said? Not what Prophet Muhammad said, what Quran said. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا الْأَنْهَارِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. Now look at what Allah said in the Quran. Believing in the Quran is part of iman. The first to embrace Islam, sabiqun awwalun, among the muhajirin and ansar. Who are the muhajirin and ansar? Muhajirin, the people of Mecca. The sahaba who live in Mecca. The Ansar are the Sahaba who live in Medina. Allah call us وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ, and those who follow them. Should we follow the Sahaba now? Yeah, because Allah said that. And the Prophet also command us before he passed away in Khutbatul Wida. He also remind his ummah at one point of time. He said, "Man ya'ish minkum ba'di, whoever survived after my death, we survive after the death of the Prophet. Fasayara ikhtilafan kathira. The Prophet is here to alert all of us 1,500 years ago. Whoever survived after my death, after my departure from this world, you are sure to be exposed to a lot of division among my ummah. اختلافاً كثيراً. The Prophet was given the knowledge by Allah what is going to happen later on. And then the Prophet do not just leave us and think by ourselves what to do. He say, عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعد. When you encounter the ummah is so divided, hold fast to my hadith, not opinion, my hadith. And Khulafa al-Rashidin, and Allah said, and the Prophet said, and the righteous Khalifa. You see, the Prophet have a lot of Sahaba. He did not highlight all the Sahaba first. He referred to the Khulafa al-Rashidin. Very precisely, the Prophet is showing us how to check your religion. When you do something religiously, look into the teaching of the Prophet, you can't get it. Look into the Khulafa al-Rashidin first. Because the Prophet said that. Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnatil khulafai rashidin. Why did the Prophet call this Khulafa al-Rashid and Mahdiin? Why do this Khulafa, the Khalifa, was given the title by the Prophet Rashid wal Mahdiin? Rashid are people who have a very sound mind, clear mind and understanding, who are guided. That's why you have some people call their gurus Murshid, from the word Rashada, Rashid. Means they are guided. They are well guided because they know what they are doing, they have reference to back up what they say. Not based on their mind, their logic, their rational, no. Backed up by evidence. Anything religion, you must have references. Mahdiin. Mahdiin, you know there's an imam before the end of the world. What is his name? Mahdi. Imam Mahdi. Why the word Mahdi been used? The one who is guided. Guided by the Quran and the Sunnah. So Allah is telling us that they are the first group of the Muslim Muhajirin, people of Mecca, and the second group, people of Ansar, and those who follow them in the best way. We cannot follow them totally, but at least try your level best to follow what you can first. Why Allah command us to follow them? Because Allah is telling us, radiallahu anhum wa radu. Allah is pleased with them. Allah never say He is pleased with us yet. Allah is pleased with them, and they with Him, because they please Allah. Whatever Allah want them to do, they always respond, submitna wa'a. They don't give excuses. They don't argue a lot. Whatever the Prophet conveyed to them, and this is what Allah wants to do, sami'na wa ta'na. If they don't know, they just ask Ya Rasul how to do it. Like when Allah command the Sahaba to make salawat upon the Prophet. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi ya yuhallazina amanu sallu alaihi wa sallimu taslima. They don't know. They can create their own salawat, but they humbly ask for kaifa nusalli alayka ya Rasul. How do we perform salawat? Then the Prophet taught them. The best way. Why? Because they please Allah. And this group are people who Allah is so pleased with them. Should we follow them? Yes, so simple. The pioneer Islamic term is called Salaf. The pioneer is called Salaf. The later generation is called Khalaf. Just understand the term. Khalaf came from Khalfa. After that, after the third generation. But Abu Bakr also is known as Khalifa. Yeah? Omar also known as Khalifa. Osman Khalifa. Ali Khalifa. What is Khalifa here? What is the name Khalifa? Normally we say Khalifa is leader. Khalif. But the word Khalifa actually derived from the root word Khalfa. Behind. After that. After that. That's where when Abu Bakr become the Khalifa, some Sahaba call him Khalifatullah. He said, no. I am Khalifatul Rasul. Khalifatullah is the Prophet. I am after the Prophet. I'm here to follow the teaching of the Prophet, to carry on the legacy. Yeah. When people forget the legacy, we have problem. We cannot erase history. We have to honor what is right. Yeah? Allah is pleased with them because they was pleased with Allah. And whoever followed them, Allah will be very pleased with it. And He, Allah, has prepared for them gardens, Jannah, beneath which rivers flow, and they will be there, abide therein forever. This is the supreme success. For those who commit minor sin or even major sin, killing people, but if you do not commit shirik, you may go to hell for some time. How long? Only Allah knows. At the end of it, there is an exit for you. But when you die committing shirik, you enter Jahannam, no exit. That is the difference. Enter, exit, and enter, no exit. So we have to be careful in what kind of sins that we are involved in. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. Now, what do we understand by this word? I like to highlight Khalidina fiha abada. They will abide therein forever. Now, this is also a reminder to all of us. When you are in the right group, in the right manhaj, following the Quran Sunnah, make sure that you follow Quran Sunnah all the way. Don't sometimes you move again. There's just a lot of people. Sometimes, in the beginning, they follow Quran Sunnah. Later on, they move to another side. They get confused again. You must make sure that you are therein, in the Quran and Sunnah, like how the companion, they were following the Prophet's teaching. After the Prophet passed away, they still follow his sunnah. They never come up with their own idea now. They still hold to his sunnah, even the Prophet is no more there with them, until they die. And then the second generation came and followed the sunnah of the Prophet until they die. But one thing I'd like to share with all the good brothers and sisters, all of us cannot say, I am exposed to all sunnah. No. Our knowledge is limited. If somebody just exposed to some and not yet others, you cannot say they are wrong. They are right in one way, In other way, they are not yet following the other path because they don't know. Nobody told them. Nobody guide them. So you cannot judge them. That is very important. You understand what I'm saying? Not everybody is exposed to the total sunnah. You will find people who pray, who follow Quran and sunnah from day one. You know them. But they are not exposed to the moving of the finger. So they don't move. So when they don't move, they say, no sunnah. You cannot say, just because the finger, no sunnah. No. Because they are not exposed to. You may come across people who perform sunnah before farudu, iqamat, the jama'ah prayer. And then iqamat is on, they still continue with their prayer. Because they are not exposed to the hadith that when iqamah is on, all the sunnah prayer is invalid. Stop. They don't know. Give you another example. A lot of people who went to Makkah for Umrah, what is the thing that they always do before they leave Makkah? Tawaf wida. What can you say to them? They don't follow sunnah. Because they were not exposed to it. And most of the people who is guiding them say, Tawwida. After that, cannot go back anymore. You know? You cannot go to make zuhur. If you Tawwida after subuh, you cannot pray zuhur in haram anymore. Can you imagine? And you cannot even go into your room anymore. Number two. Can you imagine? And if you argue, and then say, where is the evidence? The scholar said, which scholar? They also don't know sometimes. And the pendapat. And then later on you put more pressure on them. Is there a ruling how many hours after you tawaf wida you must go out already? Now they are confused. They come up with their own opinion again. Yeah. I think some scholars said 6 hours. Who give you the right to fix after 6 hours your tawaf wida invalid? There's no such thing of there's no valid. You tawaf wida because you were informed that the bus is going to come after 2 hours, but the bus only come after 10 hours, so you cannot sleep. You cannot go and buy coffee anymore. You know, you cannot even enter haram to perform other prayer. Can you imagine? But people are following. Why? Because they don't know. So you don't say, oh, they are wrong. May Allah guide them. وَتَعَوَنُ عَلَى بِرِّ وَتَقْوَى. This is something I like to remind all the good brothers and sisters. Who called us to follow the Sahaba? Allah. Who are the Sahaba that Allah want us to follow? Muhajirin wal Ansar. Where are the Muhajir? Not from Afghanistan. No. Not Taliban. No. Neither is from China, Nusantara. From Mecca. And from Medina. But now you have Muslims say, Mecca is wrong, Medina is wrong. Now, I don't know what to say. What are you going to say to these people? Allah said they are the people, Muhajir and Meccans and Ansar and Medina. But people now saying, follow Mecca, follow Medina, wrong. They mean they don't believe in what Allah said. Can you imagine how dangerous we are when we say things? We are not careful. We know the Prophet did make some statement. Iman, hikmah is Yemen. Talk about the Yemenis. Because the Arab origin is from Yemen, not from Saudi. Saudi is just an empty land, Hijaz. Nobody. Those days, in the beginning, when Abraham time, there's no people except Hajar and Ismail. Then when people start to come from Yemen, when they're traveling into Syria for business, They landed there, and then that's how Ismail got married with the Yemenis. And then that is how the descendant of Arabs begin from Yemen. That's why the Prophet did say, Hikmah Yemeni. But later on, when the people of Yemen, that's why until today you see the Saudi and the Yemen are very close, because majority of the Saudis are Yemeni. And the most expensive honey is where? New Zealand. Yeah. New Zealand have a very well-known honey. Honey what? Manuka. We thought Manuka is the most expensive. You go to Mecca, Madu Yaman, Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, Yemen people are very humble people. Yeah? Their dressing also very simple. But then they migrate. If you go back, Abu Bakr, Omar, all have link with Yemen. All the Arab came from there. But then this ayat that we just mentioned, don't talk about Yemen. Talk of Muhajirin who is in Mecca, who accept Islam first, and then those who follow up in Medina. Look at the next ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah 137. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اهْتَدَوْا. Now Allah is here to reconfirm again so that we don't misinterpret the word of Allah. So if they is to us, believe as you believe, they are indeed truly guided. Amantum is to the Sahaba, to the companion Muhajirin wal Ansar. So if any one of you who believe like how they believe in Allah and the Prophet and the Quran, all of us will be guided. Because they have a lot of Sahaba in the time of the Prophet who are thinkers. Abu Bakr, businessman, Osman, businessman, Abdurrahman bin Auf, businessman. They are wise people, but they do not put their thinking ahead of Quran and the Sunnah. Allah warned against following any guidance other than the messengers and his companions. Again, the Quran is here to tell us, وَمَا يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْخُدَى وَيَتَّبِ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَأَتْ مَصِيرًا. Look at the warning from Allah now. Earlier Allah is telling us, guiding us, showing us who to follow. And then now Allah is warning us, whoever opposes the messenger, the sunnah of the Prophet, who don't want to follow his sunnah, after guidance has become clear to him, that means the dalil is there. You show him the proof, this is what the Prophet said. He just refused to accept. And follow other than the way of the believers. Who are the believers here? The followers is going back to the Sahaba. Our belief, brother and sister, to be fair to ourselves, not to be overconfident. We do not know yet how we end our life. Do we know? Can you then say, I'm a true believer? Can you claim that? No, not yet. Because we do not know. Sometimes the trial may come, the fitna may come, suddenly, what sunnah? Why no this, no that? You become the one of the main ahli bid'ah again. Now we have seen in our lifetime, we have friends who are students before. After some time, you know what happened to them? They came back to me, they said, Ustaz, please repent. Wow. He called me to repent. Very heavy word. I said, can you tell me? No, what is the thing that I must repent from? He said, you have follow the teaching of the Prophet and it's wrong. You must follow only Quran. You cannot refer to Bukhari Muslim. Who is Bukhari Muslim? He's nobody. Wow. Because I always quote the saying the Prophet, no, it's wrong. Repent. Wow. One group came to me like that. I said, what you say, I must follow the Quran. Yes. Alhamdulillah, I never reject the Quran. I follow the Quran. What? What is the problem? Oh, because I follow the Hadith. But if the Quran coming to follow the Prophet also is wrong? No. Your interpretation is wrong. The Quran call you to follow the Prophet. What the Prophet convey to you from the Quran. Can you follow now? Very smart. I know where he's coming from. I just want to ask him few things and that's all. Nothing to argue anymore. First thing I ask him, how many times do you pray in a day and night? He has no answer. He cannot. Because in the Quran, Allah never said 5 times. that one is, we can discuss. No, I want you to tell me how many times you pray per day. He can't give me the answer. That shows that he's also reading the Quran. How many rak'an you perform? Say like you want to perform 3 prayers only. Because they say Quran talk about morning, noon, and night. So you want to pray 3 prayers. How many rak'at you perform for subuh prayer, the morning prayer? Neither he want to comment. Because if he said 2, I wonder, where in the Quran said 2 rak'at? Now mind, I know that he don't have the answer. Without going back to the Prophet, you have no answer. I'm going back to the basics so we understand the aqidah, how people believe. And then I ask them, do you believe in going to Mecca to perform Hajj? In the Quran say go and perform Hajj, that we owe Allah a deed that is to perform Hajj once in a lifetime. Yes. Do you make tawaf? Of course. And the Quran talk about tawaf. How many rounds do you make tawaf? He don't want to answer. Very smart. Oh, now he knows. I just want him to answer how many rounds. And somebody who's the friend said, it depends, 3 rounds, 5 rounds. Oh, okay. Did the Quran say 3 rounds? He once said 3 rounds. Did the Quran say 3 rounds? If the Quran said 3, 3, no problem. If the Quran said 30, what can we do? 30 rounds. Even one day you have to tawaf, you have to do, because the Quran said so. Oh, and that one we don't have to discuss, This is furu'iyah, chabang, branches. No, I was there, I just want to know. You say want to follow the Quran, so I just want to know. What is your understanding? Can you see how unorganized this religion is going to be if you don't follow the Prophet? And if you're talking about Bukhari and Muslim, I said, I think I will follow Bukhari and Muslim compared with you. Who are you compared with Bukhari? If you want to compare now, who are you with Bukhari and Muslim? Brother, I said, please, be honest to yourself. I'm just trying to share with some of you. You want to believe, Allah said, you believe in the way like how the early generation believed. So now Allah said, whoever opposed the messenger after guidance has become clear to him and follow other than the way of the believers, because these Sahaba, they live and die as a believer. That's why when you talk about the true believers, the past refer to people who die as a believer. Because you have the hypocrite in the time of the prophet. When the prophet passed away, the hypocrisy just surfaced and they die as a disbeliever. When we die, this book is about funeral. We have to die. I will end with one hadith later on, inshallah. Then Allah said, we will give him what he has chosen. You choose not to follow. Okay. Allah is not going to force you. Allah have the power to force you, but he do not want to use that power. He give you a choice. To accept or reject is up to you. You know what is halal, what is haram. But Allah create the haram too. He create the halal. But now he give you a choice. You choose. So if you choose the wrong one, do you blame Allah? But if you do the wrong thing, sometimes you blame him. Now what happened in the time of Omar, when he caught a person stealing, and all the rule is there really that he loves to steal, and he has stolen an amount that his hand can be cut off. But he said, are you going to go against Allah's qadar? Allah is the one who allowed me to steal. He make it happen. It's part of qadar taqdir. So are you going to go against Allah's taqdir? He caught Omar by surprise. Oh, this guy, his iman to qadar is very strong. Then Omar leave him for a while and then he came back. Allah give Omar the wisdom now. How many times you have been stealing? Many times. Many times. So the past that you have stolen, Allah qadar, you are not caught red-handed. So you are excused. You are free from the execution. Now Allah qadar, you are caught red-handed. So the law will apply now. I'm not going against the qadar. You understand? When you drive and it's red, you pass. No summon. Alhamdulillah. But don't do it always. There will come a time, the summon come. Hey, I've been doing that for 10, 20 times. No summon. Why this time summon? It still happened. The light was on. The camera is on now. Last time the camera is there, but it's faulty. Just example. Yeah? It's not just... it's very very interesting to understand qadar. So Allah said, we will give him what he has chosen. You choose not to follow the way of the prophet. You choose to follow other ways than the way of the believers. So Allah leave it to you to decide. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and let him into hell. Because you choose to go to hell. Yeah, they are Muslim. Was so brave. He said, I don't mind going to hell. Because Allah created hell. What? If nobody want to go, what for? Allah created hell. It makes sense again. You cannot challenge Allah in that. Allah do this is to remind us. Don't be disobedient. Don't be arrogant. Don't. Because at the end of the day, I don't want to punish you. I forgive you. I keep on guiding you. I keep on reminding you. But you keep on going against my command. And you choose to go to hell. So don't blame Allah in the day of judgment. Because you choose to go to hell. So I give you what you choose. What an evil destination. It's very bad if you choose that because nobody can help you anymore. Those who are very stubborn is very difficult to help. My way, leave me, leave me. Lakum dinukum walidin. Sometimes Muslims say, you do what you want to do, I do what I want to do. And that is very wrong. Lakum dinukum walidin was not applied for Muslim. It just applied to people who are not yet Muslim. That's why we have a way to celebrate whatever we want to celebrate. The not yet Muslim, they have their own way. Lakum dinukum waliyadin. to show us how tolerant we are. We never force you to follow us. So you should not force us to follow you. That's how harmony comes in between the different religious groups living in one country, because you have that understanding. You have your way, we have our way. Inviting to the true deen, when you want to invite people to something, the most important thing is to invite them to the deen of Islam. We should contribute to educating and guiding the Muslim to adopt the true deen, act accordingly to its teaching, and adorn themselves with the virtue and ethic. We should also contribute to inviting not yet Muslim. A lot of people are so used with the word non-Muslim. Only when come to me, I like to change this term, not yet Muslim. To the unadulterated truth of Islam. If you want to invite people who are not yet Muslim to Islam, please make sure you are inviting them to the pure teaching of Islam, not tradition, not culture, that may confuse the not yet Muslim again. Yesterday we have a discussion with some Singaporean brothers, reverts. They are telling us about some issues. Then I also share with them, I said, it's very important for us not to misguide those who want guidance. We are not yet Muslim, we come to Islam and we are misguided again. It's very difficult then. Very difficult to guide them again when they don't trust you anymore. So for those who want to call anyone to the deen of Islam, make sure that you do not misguide them. You have to guide them through the Quran and the Sunnah, not my way, your way, Pakistani way, Chinese Muslim way, Nusantara way, no. You want to guide them to buy Kowe product, Cosway product, no problem. That one is a thing. Things you they have no problem. This is the only way for any person to attain Allah's acceptance and achieve happiness and glory. And Allah said this is a surah very popular, and more majority of us have memorized. Wal asr innal insan lafi khusr illa allazina amanu wa amilus salihat wa tawassaw bil haqqi wa tawassaw bis sabr. By time the human being is surely in lost. Now Allah is telling us the real life, that everybody who are human, they are loser. As long as you are insan, you are loser. But then Allah excluded another group, illa lazina amanu. Without the illa, all of us are loser. But because the illa, now there is an exception. Except those who illa lazina amanu. Now, Allah did not end and stop there. As long as you are a believer, you are no more a loser. You are still a loser if your belief do not follow up with action. Wa amilu salihah. If you believe but you don't pray, you are still a loser. If you pray, you don't give zakat, you are still a loser. Because amal is the only thing that can strengthen your iman. You say, I have iman but I don't pray. What kind of iman is that? No. Iman always follow with righteous deed. If you get in amal, you can still be a loser, because Allah said, wa amil salihah. You do not just amal, but amal salih. You must make sure that your amal is right. Salih here is right. The opposite of salih is talih. Means you are doing a ritual that is not guided by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You pray, but you don't want to follow the way of the Prophet. It's not salih, but it's talih. You fast, you do not want to follow the way, the guidance the Prophet show us. No, you don't eat, you don't drink, but you still gossip. When the Prophet said, no, when you fast, your tongue also must fast. No, I'm very angry because I don't eat, I don't drink now. No. You must control your tongue. No. Zikir. Yes, zikir is good. Yeah. Then, that is not saleh, it's taleh. Opposite of saleh is taleh. Opposite of halal is what? Haram. Just understand that term. Saleh and taleh. Now, if you believe you don't act righteous, you don't do righteous deed, you are not a believer. True believer, that means you have failed. Now, after you have become a believer and you act righteous deed, amal saleh, you are still a loser. Because the ayat do not end there. Now you are good. But Islam is not only about you. It's also your responsibility. Now you pray, your children 7 to 10 are not praying yet. They have no sin because they never reached the age of baligh, puberty. Do you commit sin? Do you commit sin if you do not call them to pray? But they don't commit sins if they don't pray. They don't commit sin. How can you commit a sin? How? Because you do not follow, you do not carry out your responsibility. You have a responsibility to remind them. You don't carry out that responsibility, you commit a sin. You know, a husband will commit sin where they don't give sustenance to their wife. Even though I have a lot of money, but that is your duty to give. Even 1 ringgit. Then sometimes the wife loves you, he gives you 1,000 back. And that is different. But you must give. Because that is your duty. You know? And if you give, he give back to you, it's your bonus. Yeah? But normally wives are very careful. You give, they don't give, but they keep it. They keep it for raining days. You know? They know there's a time, a raining day will come. So they are very careful. So don't worry. Yeah? The more you give to them, is not going to waste. Is that true? Do you agree, sisters? Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Good. So if you are believing, you believe, you act righteous deed, but you forget to invite others to do what is right, you still end as a loser. If the prophet just become a believer, a prophet to himself, pray, do whatever Allah want him to do, and then call his family, khalas. That's all. What is going to happen to all of us? We all become a disbeliever. But he have to go up every day, keep on calling, inviting others to believe. Watawasaw bil haq is your duty to remind each other about what is right, what is true. Now, whether they change or not, it's not your duty. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَىٰ Allah said, your duty is to convey, the one who gives hidayah is Allah, not you, not me. Remember that. Then, you are still going to be a loser if you do not follow up with what? وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ You have to sabr. People will not just change with one reminder. People may go through some confusion states. You know? They're very confused. I first, when I became a Muslim, I got very confused too. I thought Islam is just one. Khalas, straightforward. One God, one Prophet, no? One Deen, one Quran. I thought it's one. And I start to learn, and then this first teacher told me this. Huh? I go to the second teacher. No, that is wrong. Then I go back to the first teacher. The second teacher said, it's wrong. What should I do now? Who said it's wrong? he's wrong. Oh, now the other is wrong now. No, I go back to the second one and say, you know, the first my teacher said you are wrong. Because I'm just learning. Now the second teacher become very upset. He said, you are coming to learn from me or you are coming to debate with me? Huh? I say, I'm like a baby in Islam. I don't know anything. I'm just asking and confused. So at last I was so upset, I showed them another way to solve a problem. I said, I'm going to call my first teacher to meet up with you. And then you discuss and I want to listen. No. Teacher to teacher is impossible. Very difficult to meet up with scholars sometimes. Everybody are very arrogant. My way. I'm a student, I'm confused. So it's better I call my teacher and then meet up with you and then you discuss and then I listen. No, there's no meeting. But there's always judgment. Tak betul. What should I do? When you get confused, what should you do? Share with me, sister. What should you do if you have this confusion? Neither you want to say the first guru is wrong, he taught you already. Neither you want to say the second guru is wrong. What should you do now? Yeah? What will you do? Huh? You don't know how to refer to because we don't have the basic foundation yet. So the best thing for me, I make my own decision to have more peace. I don't confuse myself. When I go to A, I follow A. When I go to B, I follow B. Khalas. Is that easy? Is that easier? Yes. For laymen like you and me, I think that's the best choice. I want to learn from him also. I also want to learn from him. But now, he says something, he says doesn't contradict, and I said I'm confused. Now they don't want to meet. Then what can I do? I don't have the knowledge to really come up to a conclusion. So my conclusion, humble conclusion, when I come to you, whatever you tell me, and I feel okay, I follow. When I come to them and he say okay, I follow. So both ways, I have peace. Now I don't get confused now. I follow. You know. It's just like this kedai, they have nasi lemak, they also got nasi lemak. Their nasi lemak tastes different, this and that. Tak apa lah. You want to eat, you eat. You don't want to eat, you don't eat. Finish. This is very important. Yeah. Now we have this problem. Yeah. We must have patience. People do not just change until they are convinced. Until they respect you that you have knowledge more than them. If not, they say, what do you know? Normally when you talk to your friend, he say, when you become ustazah, and then there's another problem. Now, warning against deviant beliefs and practices. We should caution the Muslim and exhort them against any belief or practice aligned to the pure teaching and alien to the pure teaching of Islam, says as shirik and bid'ah. Purifying the sunnah. How can you purify the sunnah? We should contribute to cleansing the sunnah of weak and fabricated narration. Wrong belief and practices deriving from weak reports have marred the beauty of Islam and prevented the Muslim advancement. The duty of purifying the sunnah is so vital that the Messenger Prophet Muhammad praise those who perform it by saying, the knowledge will be carried by the trustworthy. Yahmul Hazil Ain. The knowledge will be carried by the trustworthy ones of every generation. Meaning, in every generation, the Prophet said, there will be a group who will stand up for the truth. There will be a group, inshallah. They will expel from it the alteration made by those going beyond bounds. The false claim of the liars and the false interpretation of the ignorant. Yeah, they always have a group of people who Allah will send for every nation, a group of people who will uphold the pure teaching of Islam. This is a blessing to all of us, alhamdulillah. Yeah? Normally, sometimes there are other terms said that there will be a mujahid and mujaddid. Yeah? Mujaddid is somebody who come, a group will come to uphold the pure teaching of Islam. They don't care about what people want to say about them. La yakhafu lawmata la'im. They are not worried about what people want to brand them. They do. They only want to please Allah and follow the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Liberating the Islamic thoughts, yeah? Because we know at the end of the day, there's a lot of people who are going beyond bounds. They claim a lot of things that is not from the Prophet, not Sunnah. Also, they say Sunnah. And the false interpretation of the ignorant, yeah? And one of the experience I've shared, I think, but I just want to recap again. The first group that I shared with you, the second group also, some was my friend, they said to me, say, Ustaz, repent. Same, you make tawbah. I said, because you quote Abu Bakr, Omar, and Osman. All these are enemy of Islam. Yeah. These are betrayer of Islam. They only want you to accept Ali, Hussein, Hassan, and Fatima. Yeah. Any hadith, Ja'far as-Siddiq. Hadith must from Ja'far as-Siddiq. I say, I have no problem. I believe in Ali. I believe in Fatima. I believe in Hussein. I choose my name also Hussein. I believe in Hassan. I believe in Ja'far. I have no problem. But in the same time, I believe in Abu Bakr because the Prophet said about Abu Bakr that he'll go to paradise. And I believe in Omar because the Prophet said Omar will go to paradise. So how can I deny all these good people? No, these are the enemy of Islam. So they use all their false interpretation. Liberating the Islamic thought, guided by the Islamic principle. Always remember, brothers and sisters, the same thing I always want to recall back, the basic. Go back to the basic. Without the basic, we will have problems from time to time. We should contribute to reviving the unobstructed Islamic thought and opposing stubborn adherence to mazhab. There's nothing wrong to follow any mazhab, nothing wrong. But to say, I only follow one, and you want to follow one also, there's nothing wrong. But don't condemn the other. That's where the wrong thing comes. You don't, if you only have the means to follow one, no problem. Yeah? It's like majority of the people here, they are only exposed to one. What is the one? Shafi. So majority want to follow, you follow properly, but don't say Hanafi is wrong. You cannot do that. Because he's more pioneer than Shafi. He met the Sahaba. Shafi never met any Sahaba. You cannot say Malik is wrong. Malik is the guru of Shafi. How can you say his guru is wrong and he is right? Example. Because they are only exposed to that. And prejudice, loyalty to parties. Neglecting this is the past has caused rust to dwell on the hearts and minds of Muslims because we are too fanatic. Yeah? Diverting them from the pure original sources of Islam. Because of that, the Quran is not more being referred to. Now you hardly see leaders use Quran verses. No. If not yet Muslim leader, they have their own way. Muslim leaders should always guide the people with the verses of Allah. Hardly Muslim leader use the verses of Allah and quote the saying of the Prophet and causing them to deviate from the honest Islamic brotherhood called to by Allah. وَاَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And hold fast all together by the robe of Allah, the teaching of Islam in the Quran, and be not divided among yourself. And the Prophet said, وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا, be worshippers of Allah's brothers. Now, most of the hadith, the Prophet used the term ikhwana, brothers. It now stopped there also to the sisters. Yeah? But you know, always they use the masculine more than the feminine. Now, how to have a solution? Yeah? Presenting the Islamic solution, we should contribute to providing realistic Islamic solution to contemporary problem and strive toward resuming a true Islamic way of life and establish a true Islamic society governed by Allah's rule. Allah said, وَأَنِحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلُ اللَّهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. So true the saying of Allah. Sadaqallahul Azim. Hence, judge between them in accordance with what Allah has revealed, and do not follow their errant views. Do not follow hawa. Do not follow opinion. Do not follow ideas. Do not follow your own thoughts. This is what Allah said to us. Yeah? We call upon all the Muslims to support us in carrying out this noble trust, amana. This will surely elevate and honor us and spread the eternal message of Islam all over the earth, and not only in this country, wherever we go, as is Allah's true promise, وَالَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَالدِّينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُزْهِرَهُ وَالَدِّينِ كُلِّ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. It is He, Allah, who has sent His messenger with guidance and the religion of truth, in order to make it prevail over all false religion, however hateful this may be to the pagan. When you start to speak the truth, a lot of people will not be happy, because the truth is bitter, but you just have to convey the truth. Yeah? You just have to do what you have to do. At the end of the day, you will see the result. Yeah? With the will of Allah, we will have a good ending. At least, we will have a good ending. The conclusion from this prelude, this work is therefore a humble response to our realization of a great responsibility. The responsibility to help bring forth before the English-speaking public writing that refined Islam and present it pure and simple, as close as possible to the way it was understood and practiced by its earlier righteous and pioneer Muslim known as the Salaf. Now I say to all the sisters and brothers, the conclusion in what we do in our life is very important. Of course, we do everything for the sake of Allah. When we talk about funeral, the conclusion is what? What is the conclusion of funeral? Yeah? Yeah. Talking about funeral, you talk about death. Yeah. Look at one saying of the Prophet ﷺ, very important. In Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said from Abu Sa'id al-Qudri radiallahu an. It's not here yet. Yeah? It's inside this book, but I'm just bringing forward some reminder. Because we were talking about sicknesses before, now you are coming to funeral. Yeah? But what is the most important thing that we have to help each other? وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى بِرِّ وَتَقْوَى. How to help somebody when they are facing Sakaratul Maut, when they are going to conclude their life here. I've been praying very hard for my own sister who is very ill in Denmark. My younger sister just came last night, and we have a discussion again. And my another sister who is younger than me too, not the youngest one, have left to see her. In 2 months, she have gone through 8 operations, 8 surgery, just in 2 months. So I keep on praying, may Allah give her guidance, at least. She was also very close to me, and she was in Saudi for a while, so she exposed to a lot of Islamic things. Of course, the hidayah is Allah's, who decide, not we. Among my family, we are competing with each other between they and me. My sister in Denmark, in grandchildren. They are going to have the 5th one. I have the 5th going to the 6th now. Example. But we are still waiting for what is happening. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu an said that the Prophet remind his ummah, lakinu mautakum la ilaha illallah. Lakinu mautakum la ilaha illallah. This is the duty of every one of us. When you know somebody is very sick, and we don't know when they are going to go back to Allah, but scientifically you know they are, they are coming towards the end, then the Prophet remind every one of us who have the iman, who said that we believe in Allah, teach them, remind them, la ilaha illallah. This is what the Prophet, that is what the term been used, talqin, based on this hadith, lakinu. Talqin means to teach, to remind people who is going to die. People who are dead, you cannot teach them anymore. If you can still teach the dead, mashallah. I think I love to go to my father graveyard and teach, Papa, I'm your son. Say, la ilaha illallah. We can't do that. One a person is dead, you leave the matter to Allah to give the final judgment. Whether they die as a disbeliever with knowledge, or they do not know anything about Islam, then Allah will give them the final trial. Allah will give them the final trial, as Allah is so just. For those who do not know what is Islam here, who is Allah, Allah will give them the final test. But for those that are exposed to the message, they reject, like Abu Lahab, Fir'aun. They choose to have a bad ending. But you have another group. Allah said, وَمَا كُنَّ مُعَزِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. Allah will never punish any group until a messenger was sent to them. Meaning the messages of truth have been revealed, have been exposed to them. Out of the arrogant, they don't want to follow. Then maybe some people say, if that is the case, we better don't do da'wah to them. So they will die without knowing. No. You must convey the message. Lakinu or lakinu mautakum la ilaha illallah. Why the Prophet called us to do that? Because Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu anhu said, there is Sa'id al-Khudri, now Mu'az, the other companion is coming to reconfirm, to strengthen this hadith from Abu Dawud. The first hadith is from Sahih Muslim, the second hadith from Abu Dawud. Man kana akhiru kalami la ilaha illallah dakhala jannah. Whoever die and the last thing that they utter, they say, is la ilaha illallah. Can you imagine, brother and sister, sometimes how easy to go to paradise? Just to remind somebody to say La ilaha illallah, and they respond, the last minute they respond La ilaha illallah, and they die. Allahu Akbar. According to the saying of the Prophet, this one, people don't pray yet, never fast, nothing, just lie, they go to paradise. Allahu Akbar. And because of this, brothers and sisters, the Prophet never give up on his uncle Abu Talib. Because of this, he never give up to the young Yahud who was very kind to the Prophet, like to help the Prophet when he was healthy, and when he falls sick, the Prophet visit him and call him to say, La ilaha illallah. Never give up. You don't know, brother and sister, your close friend, the last minute that you see them, they are not yet Muslim, you call them, sister, my friend, please say La ilaha illallah. Believe in Allah so that I can pray for your soul. And millions of people will pray for your soul without you asking, without you paying them a cent. If at that particular point of time Allah opened her mind, nothing to lose. He said, La ilaha illallah. MashaAllah. Now what should we do after that? If you manage to teach them to say La, what should you do after that? There is a prayer that the Prophet said when this thing happened. The Prophet said, Alhamdulillahilladhi anqadhahu minan nar. All praise due to Allah who have saved him or her from hellfire. It is a blessing. Alhamdulillahilladhi anqadhahu minan nar. And then of course is tirjak. La inna lillahi وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, and ask Allah to forgive his soul. And now, brothers and sisters, if you encounter this in the future, please remember, you have no right to fight for that body. Don't create unrest. Oh, he made shahada with me, he's a Muslim. Then you're going to create a lot of unrest to the family member. How can you say that? He was all the way worshipping Jesus. He had been a Buddhist from his lifetime. But the ending, we don't know. If he just can respond, you don't touch anything about the funeral, don't just leave it. Let what the authority, the law have to do with this. They will check according to the document. No document say he's a Muslim. So don't say anything. It's between we and Allah Rabbul Alameen. But you can come to us. Let us know. I have guided him or her, and he respond with understanding. I explained. He said, yes, okay, I will follow you. Tell them the meaning of La, in that there is no God that you believe and worship except Allah alone. And they said, you can just come and let us know. We will perform Salatul Mayat Ghaib here. We do that. This Salatul Mayat Ghaib is highly recommended for this case. Don't go and fight, and then become very messy. And that is what we create fitna to the deen. Yeah. When you don't have anything to fight, don't fight him. Allah knows best. They can be buried anywhere. Allah have the right to put them back together. You remember the story of a man in the time of the Bani Israel that the Prophet shared with us and shared with all of you today. There's a man, a father who had many children, who loved his children a lot. You remember the story? Anyone remember? I shared this story more than twice here. never mind, because as we move on, we forget the past, you know. Normally it's like that. The more you get, the more you forget.
Yeah.
The Prophet was telling us a story in the time of Bani Israel, that there was a man of very good father who loved all his children, but he was a rich man. Whatever the children want, he gave. Whatever the children want, he gave. So one day he gathered all the children. What do you think about your father? Best. Of course, good father. We get everything from you. You always give us what we want. How can we say bad? I don't like you. I know you're a bad father. Good father. The father said, okay. You acknowledge my contribution. I just want all of you to do me one favor. Can you help me? No problem, father. We love you. More than that we can do. When I die, remember the story? When I die, don't bury me in one piece. You have to burn my body. And then when it turns into ashes, gather the ashes together, put in a plate, on a plate, then wait for the windy day. When the wind is very strong, you take up the ash and let it fly. Let the wind take my body, turn into ashes. So the children does this to the father. In the day of judgment, Allah called him. Why do you do that? Allah asked him. You know what he said to Allah? Oh Allah, I fear your punishment. I fear your punishment. So now I thought my thinking. Now my body is no more there. It turned into ashes and the wind have blown it everywhere. So, no body. So I won't be tortured anymore. Huh? Don't you know that I have the power to gather everything together from nothing to something? Even you are chopped into pieces and mixed, I have the power. Remember the power of Allah showed to Ibrahim? When Ibrahim said, oh Allah, show me your power. He wanted to see Allah, said, no. Show me your power then. Now you take four birds, cut it and mix all their parts. Put them in four mountains and then you call them back to you. Why? You hold their heads. All the body with the will of Allah will find their parts and join together. Two fly and two walk towards Abraham. It's the power of Allah. So Allah is asking, why do you call your son to burn you and then take all your ashes and throw it in the winter days? Allah, I fear your punishment. Because of the fear, the belief in hell is so strong. Allah forgive him. Allahu Akbar. You see how Allah's work, how His mercy. Oh, then you don't say, okay, I also want to do that now. I call my children, if I die, don't bury me. I don't know whether I have committed sin or not. You do the same, you cannot do that. This is because he was very ignorant about the whole thing. He thought that is the only way to save him from the punishment from Allah. Like I said last week, you know that the prostitute woman, and then he went to paradise, Allah forgive her sin and enter her to paradise in the day of judgment because of what? He feed a dog. So don't now go and look for dogs. Wow, you know, feeding a dog also can go to paradise. Then I'm going around now to look for dogs now. Give them food. No. But he didn't do, because he, out of that time when Allah tests her, her mercy towards Allah's creation was great. And the Prophet has said, show mercy to the creation of Allah. The one in the heaven will shower his mercy. Out of the iman that she had, it's not a job for her to go and look for dogs. No. It just happened. You know, if not, what is going to happen to us? Then you say, a lot of Muslims going to look for dogs. Then they say, who taught you? Al-Qadim, Salamat. Again, say, please don't do that. I just share with you. So if anything is going to happen to any one of us, our friend, especially people who are not yet Muslim, don't abandon them just like this. Call them to La ilaha illallah. That is our minimum responsibility. We fail to call them to Islam when they are healthy, but don't give up this opportunity. You don't know what you can do, brothers and sisters. May Allah help us, inshallah, and may Allah give us the right understanding about our deen, that we are not here to make any judgment, or we are not here to say that we are the best, but we are trying to follow what is right. Yeah? Any question? Now we open for Q&A. Fatafadhal. Question from the sisters? There are two ways of questioning in our class here. One, if those who are used to it, they can question us directly. Second, is those who are shy, then they can approach us privately. Or some other classes, they only want the sister to write. But here we don't encourage people to write because you can ask directly. It's easier. Any question? Naam, sis. Waalaikum salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Okay. Yes. Now. Correct. Now. Yes, now. Okay. Now. Yeah. Sometimes we know that as husband and wife, they have very good couple. The care, the love, respect each other. So happen Allah tested them with disbelief. In Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want us to do whatever we can. You cannot save both, you save one first. But you must use a lot of wisdom. We are not going to say that the husband is totally wrong. Like what you say, when she is having her menses, she still pray. Why she do that? Why she do that? Because maybe the husband exposed to the Quran, and people tell, the Quran said, the only thing that you cannot do when you have menses is to have intimacy with your husband. When your wife is having her menses, stay away. No intimacy. So, that's why they also can tawaf. When they have their head, they tawaf. I know because I met this group before. Now, through my humble experience, I don't blame them 100%. Why? They go to another extreme to ignore all the hadith. Why? Because we have the majority who have gone to another extreme. What caused them to be so doubtful about the hadith is because the general public just said hadith, 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 sunnah, sunnah, even have no references. You understand what I'm saying? And then people who like to think, it contradicts a lot of the Quran's verses. Then if that is the case, I better stay away from all the hadith, because they got false hadith, they got weak hadith, they got hadith munqata, batil la aslalahu, so many darja. So I do not know how to differentiate, but Quran is Quran, there's only one Quran, so I better save myself. I ignore all hadith. Another extreme. How this group you start to surface, because you have the general public who are going to another extreme. Even nothing to do with the Prophet, sunnah. They just sell the word sunnah, sunnah, sunnah. A lot of things happen in the bid'ah also, they say sunnah. And this is the fitnah. So I normally, if I talk to these people, we keep on talking. They try to come up with their logic, rationale. We try to explain to them. Of course, hidayah is from Allah, not from you, from me. And keep on praying. But try to talk to the sister. Try to save her, make her understand first. Leave the husband for a while. Once she starts to change, at least now she changed, alhamdulillah. And may Allah give her the wisdom to talk to the husband. That's how it goes. We don't judge them. A lot of confusion is going on around the ummah. Yeah? So it's not easy. It's not easy. The fitna is getting greater. It's not easy. We just have to have faith. At the end of the day, Allah will give guidance, not we. It's a test for us. Suddenly you got a friend who is going into that direction. What do you do? Try your little best. I have done my duty to a lot of my own friend. Yeah, I just have a good friend who came here, who know me from the 80s, who now have 8 grandchildren, and one of the son children, from one, second, third, the fourth one, they always send to us to do some tahnik and so on. Yeah. So we recap a lot of what happened in the past. You see, I follow that since the 80s, when a lot of people don't accept sunnah. But now a lot of people are more exposed now. A lot of sunnah teacher now, before very little. I think at my time, at Perkin in 1980s, I'm the only one who talk about sunnah. The rest, only Allah knows. Yeah? But things have changed a lot, alhamdulillah. Lastly, sister, if there are any questions from sisters, brothers, none. Oh, sir, Fadal. Walaikum salam warahmatullah. Or about tawaf wida. Tawaf wida is wajib for Hajj. Tawaf wida for Umrah is not wajib at all. There's no hukum of tawaf wida for Umrah. You want to tawaf, no problem. Just tawaf sunnah. You must understand the term wida is a hukum. And the Prophet reminds him, people who perform Hajj, don't leave Makkah without tawaf wida. It's a hukum. And tawaf wida apply only in Hajj. So Umrah, if anybody want to make another tawaf, you're welcome. But the hukum of tawaf wida, no, do not apply for Umrah. But a lot of people still use that term, tawaf wida. And then because of that, ziarah wida again. So when you have that one, it start to come up with another one. So you want to ziarah, you ziarah, there's nothing wrong. the hukum of ziarah wida do not exist for Hajj and Umrah. Ziarah can ziarah, no problem. So it's good that in the future anybody who want to do any of this ibadah to have some basic understanding, at least when people say this, you know where you stand. Yeah? Now you think I'm getting more confused when people argue and they say, oh, it's 6 hours only. Who fixed the 6 hours? Yeah. Naam. You are clear, brother? No? Good. Last one. You have two type of mutawif. The one who know the truth and are ready to convey the truth, they will tell you, no need. But you have another mutawif who have been appointed by a group of people who say, you must do that. So he will say, do that. Now you have some mutawif is telling you, whoever missed their prayer 10, 15 years ago, no problem, we have people, we have services, special service for you to make Salatul Qadha. But you pay, of course. And then whoever fast and everything, so many years you miss every day, also we have these special services for you now. Now they have a lot of extra services. It become a business today. Everything become business. So we must be very careful. Of course, it is their duty. But they also, those who are exposed to it, inform the public. But now you have another group. No. We have been taught from here. May Allah guide us, inshallah. Now. So, now. Oh, yes. No problem, man. Yes. No. Correct, yeah. Only because we don't control our transportation now. In the time of the Prophet, thing is very straightforward. They came with all their camels and they tied their camel outside Haram. After Tawaf, you at that time you don't have hotel like today. You only traveled with 10. Everybody undo their tent already. They have kept their tent and ready, put on the camel's back and ready after Tawaf go out. So it is very practical. But don't use that as a reason, because now you don't control the transport. The transport say in 2 hours, maybe in 8 hours, they know they arrive. You ask them why so late? Traffic jam. We don't know what jam is that. You know? Only Allah know what kind of jam they use. You know, sometimes 8 hours jam. I know last time I traveled, they say after Subuh 10 a.m. you are going to move. You know what time the transport reach us? At 2 a.m. morning. And my group have to suffer more because the room is been taken already. You make people suffer. And again, they're so smart, that arrangement, 2 buses. So what happened? When you give the list of the name of the passengers, no? We outsmart them. Who our organizing the round hand outsmart them. Oh, no problem, you brother, sister, family, stay in one bus. We know. And those who are not, they are loose one, you stay in another bus. So when the officer come and check and he have a list, he call the name, not here. And other people is here. He go to the bus, he call them, not there. Some of them have. You organize your thing properly, I'll come back later on. Later on, 6 hours. You have other thing to do. If you have a list of name to show to the officer, they have to check. So you don't outsmart people, tak apa, 6 hours extra. You see, this is the thing that we are not alert of. We play our politics, you can't. When people have this rule, you follow. Then next, after the check, halfway, you want to change, you change. You don't change before the check-up. See, sometimes thing is unnecessary. Lastly, brother and sister, I'd like to end with this ayah, a very beautiful ayah in chapter 3, verses 185. Allah Rabbul Alamin remind us, wa innama tuwaffawna wujurakum yawmal qiyamah. Chapter 3, verses 185, Allah said, and only on the day of resurrection, al-qiyamah, shall you be paid your wages in full. Always remember, whatever good deeds we do, make sure that your intention is purely for Allah, so that Allah will repay us. And when Allah promises that He will reward you, He will never break His promise. Just make sure that our intention is clear, purely for Him. Now, I just end with this saying, pure intention, clean intention, lillahi ta'ala, you know what is that one, huh? Do you know what is when you do something for Allah's sake? What do you mean by when you do something for Allah's sake? When you do something for Allah's sake, no hidden agenda, purely for Allah, what do you mean by that? Yeah? No, tawakkul is a different hukum. Everybody is trying to see how we understand that. Understand. Now the Prophet ﷺ make it very nicely, very simple. He said, what the right hand gives, left hand knows not. You don't talk about it. Finish. We do not want the beginning, very pure intention, Allah. Then we create fitna in the future. Yeah? We create fitna. When you create fitna, your good intention gone. But when you don't talk about it, that is where your reward, where Allah will reward you kindly. Don't worry. But when you start to create fitna, then that's where your reward is been taken away. Shaitan like this. No shaitan like that. Yeah? So please make sure that whatever we do, alhamdulillah, we do for the sake of Allah, and we move forward. And may Allah help us. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Brother and sister, please be alert about our classes. I think before the every Wednesday, there will be a message highlighted that class on, class off, maybe some changes. Please go into the our website, WhatsApp. You have AK WhatsApp. Yeah? For those who are new here, who are not aware, please give us your reference so that we keep you informed. Yeah? So for those who have been supporting us, may Allah reward all of you kindly, inshallah. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.